So we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 6, entitled The Liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Texts 51 to 56. I'll just chant 51 to 55. So text 51, translation. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gopinathacharya replied, "There was a man named Jagannath who was a resident of Navadvip and whose surname was Mishra Pundara. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the son of that Jagannath Mishra and his former name was Vishwambara Mishra. He also happens to be the grandson of Nilambara Chakravati. The Bhattacharya said, Nilambara Chakravati was a classmate of my father, Maheshwara Visharada. I knew him as such. Jagannath Mishra Pundara was respected by my father. Thus, because of their relationship with my father, I respect both Jagannath Mishra and Nilambara Chakravati." Hearing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu belonged to the Nadia district, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became very pleased and addressed the Lord as follows. So, text 56. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, "You are naturally respectable. Besides, you are a sannyasi. Thus I wish to become your personal servant." Please repeat after me. "You are naturally respectable.
You are naturally respectable.
Besides, you are a sannyasi.
Besides, you are a sannyasi.
Thus I wish to become your personal servant."
Thus I wish to become your personal servant.
Purport. A sannyasi is always to be worshipped and offered all kinds of respect by the grihasthas, householders. Although Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma respected him as a sannyasi and as one who had attained the topmost platform of spiritual ecstasy. Thus the Bhattacharya certainly accepted him as his master. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshom Miritam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namoshute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Grishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Tanta Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Sahaje puja tumi arata sanyasa ataivahan tamar ami nijadasa. You are naturally respectable. Besides, you are a sannyasi. Thus, I wish to become your personal servant. So I ask for your blessings to speak something on Chaitanya Charitamrita, specifically the liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. This is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya speaking, saying you're naturally respectable. Besides being a sannyasi, he's naturally respectable. And this is because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed such transcendental qualities. So obviously anybody who displays transcendental qualities, very highly elevated qualities, they're respectable. What to speak of spiritual qualities, even material qualities, somebody's highly respected if they have good qualities. But besides this, he is a sannyasi. So a sannyasi should be, Prabhupada says, a sannyasi is always to be worshipped and offered all kinds of respects by the householders, grihasthas. But I don't think that means only the householders. Everybody should worship the sannyasi. Why should a sannyasi be worshipped? Because a sannyasi, at least should be, generally, is very fixed in Krishna consciousness. Sthita pragya. So if we look at the Bhagavad Gita, we see that in the second chapter, there are many verses. Actually, the second chapter is Krishna imploring Arjuna to get out of his bewilderment, his depression. And to become sthita pragya, fixed in Krishna consciousness. So first of all, of course, Arjuna, he displays his bewilderment. Obviously, this is Krishna's arrangement, that Arjuna should do that. So it's for our example, because most of the time, at least speaking for myself, I've been pretty bewildered, confused throughout life. And what are the symptoms of that? Well, Sanjay says, the first verse of the second chapter, he says, Tamsata kripaya vishtam ashru purna kolekshanam vishidantam midam vakyam uvacha madhusudana. So he says, seeing Arjuna full of compassion, his mind depressed, his eyes full of tears, Madhusudana Krishna spoke the following words. So, and then what does Krishna say? He says, Kutastva kashmalamidam vishame samupastitam anarya justam asvagyam akirti karam arjuna. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai. Shri Shri Yashoda Damodara ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yes, so he says, Kutastva kashmalam midam. Kashmalam, what does kashmalam mean? Anybody got any, just to get you thinking? What is kashmalam? Kutastva kashmalam midam. Kutastva, where from? Kashmalam, your impurities, dirtiness. Kutastva kashmalam midam, vishame samupastitam. In vishame samupastitam. Now that this time of great crisis has arrived, vishame samupastitam, kutastva kashmalam idam vishame samupastitam, anarya justam asvargyam. Anarya means somebody who actually doesn't know the true value of life. Anarya justam asvargyam. It doesn't lead to higher planets. Asvarga, svarga is higher planets. Asvarga doesn't lead to higher planets. Asvargyam. Akirti karam arjuna. So akirti means infamy. It leads to infamy. So so when we are confused and bewildered, when we're depressed, because we heard during sometimes during the week Prabhupada speaking class on the altar there, and he's saying, actually, if you're depressed, if you're not happy, if you're not joyful, you're in Maya. I often thought, actually, this is a bit harsh, really. Krishna just saying, you're in Maya, actually. This is impurities. But actually, that's the case, because if we're in that state of mind, we're depressed, our eyes are full of tears, and that's how that's how I've felt a lot of my life, feeling depressed, feeling, you know, well, like wanting to cry, even if you don't cry. So that's actually just Maya, Prabhupada says. Because we should be joyful. Why? Because the soul is actually Satchidananda Vigraha. It's full of joy, full of knowledge, and eternal. So Krishna's persuading Arjuna to get out of this Maya, to stop feeling depressed, to stop crying, and kripaya vishtam. Kripaya, what does kripaya mean? Anybody? Ladies? Huh? Can't hear you? Well, actually, in this case, it means compassion. So he's kripaya avishtam. He's overwhelmed by compassion. So, but what is the problem with you? Think that's good? He's compassionate. But the problem is that she's misplaced compassion. We're misplacing our compassion or our sorrow, our sadness, our depression on this body and this material life, and not being able to find the sense gratification that we think will satisfy us. So when we lament about our own circumstances in life, that they're not what we would like them to be, or other people's circumstances in life, then actually that is kripaya avishtam. It's misplaced compassion, actually. So we should be happy regardless of what's going on in the world. So therefore, first of all, what's the first lesson that a sannyasi, because we're talking here about why a sannyasi should be respected, the first lesson is sannyasi doesn't identify with the body. He's not thinking, I am this body. So that's the first thing we have to understand. First of all, if we want to actually not be overwhelmed with compassion or sorrow for ourselves or others, not identify with the body. So that's jnana yoga. There's a difference between the soul and the body. And one verse which particularly strikes me usually is, I think it's verse 27. Jatasya hi dhruvam mrityu, dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. Tasmada parihayate natvam shochitam nanu shochitam arhasi. So in that verse, Krishna says that for one who has taken birth, he's sure to die, and after death, one is sure to take birth again. Therefore, and this is the bit that strikes me usually. Therefore, you can't avoid. You cannot avoid your duty. How does he put it exactly? Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. So we've got to do the right thing at some point. If we don't deal with our issues now, they're not going to go away. Even in the next life, we're going to have to face up and we're going to have to deal with whatever issues we are facing. So what's the point in delaying? Let's just get into it. Let's just deal with it now. Then he goes on to a different tack. He says, actually, even if you want material enjoyment, best to do your duty. Do the right thing. And what is that? It means according to scriptural injunctions. You follow, even if you want to enjoy materially, at least do it by following the scriptural injunctions. Because what? What will happen then? You will get actually material enjoyment. And you won't accrue sinful reactions for it. So, even if you best to do your duty, to do the right thing, even if it's for material enjoyment. And the negative side of it is that if you don't do it, what's going to happen? He says one verse which I also find very striking. He says, Akirtim chapi bhutani kataya ishanti chevayam sambhavitasya chakir chakirtir maranad ati richati. People will always speak of your infamy, and for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. So if you don't do your duty, you're just going to be disrespected, dissed, as they say, or they used to. But so, you know, it. And if you really, if you have good values, to be dishonored is worse than death. So better to do your duty, just do it, even if it's very difficult. But then he takes another tack, Krishna. He says that actually you should fight, because this is all to persuade Krishna to fight, Arjuna to fight, of course. He says, you should fight, but with no reaction. Buddhi yoga. But then finally, I just want to come to this section here from 54 to the end of the verse. Because it's about, Arjuna asks, he says, Stita pragyasya ka bhasha, samadhi stasya keshava. So stita pragyasya. What are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? So, stita pragyasa means of one who is situated in fixed Krishna consciousness. So that is what a sannyasi should do, be fixed or be. He should be fixed in Krishna consciousness. And that's what we have to aim to be, whether we are sannyasis or not. We have to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. And then, after Arjuna having asked that question, Krishna answers and he says what the symptoms are of an Atmarama or a self-realized person. He says, Prajahati yadakamam sarvan pata manogatan atmanyevatmana tushta stita pragyas tadochate. So there again, stita pragyas. He says, when a man gives or woman gives up all varieties of desire for sense gratification, which arise from mental concoction, and when his mind thus purified finds satisfaction in the self alone, then he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. Stita pragya. Tadochade. So this is what Krishna is saying, that we give up all varieties of desire for sense gratification, because why? They arise from what? What did he say? Mental concoction, yeah. The mind's mental concoction. And when his mind thus purified finds satisfaction in the self alone, then he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. So there are so many verses in this last section of the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita which end with a very particular phrase which you may know. Does anybody know what is repeated at the end of every, not every verse, but many, many verses at the end of the second chapter? Does anybody know what it is? It's tasya pragya pratishtita. So this, I haven't counted how many times it comes up, but it's many, many verses. So basically it's the same thing, except it's just turned around. Tasya pragya. Pragya means fixed intelligence, or intelligence at least. Perfect knowledge is in this particular verse. Pratishtita, fixed. So we give respect to a person who is fixed in Krishna consciousness. And a sannyasi is meant to be so fixed in Krishna consciousness. In the material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. One who is able to withdraw his senses from sense objects as the tortoise draws its limbs within the shell is tasya pragya pratishthita, is firmly fixed in perfect consciousness. Verse 61. Tani savani samyamya yukta asita matparaha vashehi yashendriyani tasya pragya pratishthita. Tasya pragya pratishthita. One who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control, and fixes his consciousness upon me is known as a man of steady intelligence. And there's more. Tasmad yasya mahabaho nigrihitani savashaha indriyan indriyatebhyas tasya pragya pratishthita. Therefore, O mighty armed, one whose senses are restrained from their objects is certainly of steady intelligence. And I think that's it. So, this is why a sannyasi is naturally respectable. This is why anybody, actually, not just a sannyasi, a householder, a brahmachari, a man or woman, young or old, everybody actually becomes respectable or worshipable even if they reach this stage of tasya pragya pratishthita, or stita pragya otherwise. And what is the result of that being stita pragya? The result is, as it says in the last verse, Esha brahmi stiti pata nainam prapya vimushati stitvasyam antakalepi brahma nirvanam richati. That is the way of the spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. If one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So that's a very nice verse, which is very encouraging, that if we just follow this way of life, this spiritual and godly life, like sannyas life, giving up attachment to material things, then when we're not bewildered anymore, just like Arjuna was no longer bewildered ultimately after hearing Krishna's words, if one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So that's our goal, to go back home, back to Godhead, to enter into the kingdom of God. And that is why a sannyasi is respectable, is worshipable. That is why any person, actually, who follows Krishna's instructions is worshipable and respectable. Naturally, he says. Naturally, you are naturally respectable. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is on a level above, way above us. On this subject I will finish. I've been asked to speak about the appearance of Nimbarka Acharya, but before that, any questions or comments on this particular point? Anybody?
You're going to speak on Nimbarka Acharya, his appearance today.
His appearance.
Actually, I read in Chaitanya Bhagavad, he explained that he appeared in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as Keshwara Kashmiri.
Yeah.
Right? And he's explained there that how, because he's worshiping Goddess Saraswati.
Mm-hmm.
And cause he was the greatest scholar throughout India, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he came to Navadvip. And Nimai Pandit defeated him, you know, like on this particular verse. He found a few mistakes.
Yeah. There was 100 verses.
Yeah. He compiled 100 verses. 3 hours he actually recited the verses. In Chaitanya Bhagavatam, 3 hours he recited the verses.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lord Chaitanya found this one fault, Pavani Bharati.
In one of the verses, yeah.
Yeah, he found this fault. Yeah. And then it's common in Chaitanya Bhagavatam that Mother Saraswati, Goddess Saraswati told him, Lord Chaitanya actually told him, well, Mother Saraswati, this is Lord Chaitanya, actually Krishna himself, you should go and surrender to him. Mm-hmm. So then Lord Chaitanya told him, don't reveal my identity to anyone, mm-hmm. otherwise I'll take you away from here. Mm-hmm. And he actually revealed his identity to someone, and then he got taken away, and then someone else took his place. So in that purport, he's explained that to tell something about the purity to someone who's not qualified, they can misuse that. So in Lord Chaitanya's time, he didn't want his identity revealed to anyone at that time because people were not qualified to understand who he really was at that time.
Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for your class and actually, you know, talking about that quality, the qualities that we need to be imbibing, even though they're coming from sannyasis. I had a question based on this. So we see that, you know, personalities like Mahaprabhu, as much as is being mentioned here, that they're respectable by everyone, mm-hmm. that they were challenged, and, you know, not everyone really showed them respect until, you know, it proved something. So the same with Prabhupada and, you know, with other elevated personalities in our movement. So is this respectability coming from a particular group of people who are worthy of giving respect, or is this actually coming from everyone generally? So even if they're not, are they respecting it internally, even if they're not showing it, or they're being rude externally, internally they've actually accepted. Is that what it means by they're respected by everyone, or what does that exactly mean?
Respected by everyone. It doesn't say that actually here. Just he's always to be worshipped, always to be respected. Like that.
It's not guaranteed that it's going to happen for everyone, but that's
no. But that's the natural. If somebody's non-envious, of course, for the envious, they're not going to respect. But for those who are non-envious, then naturally they will feel some respect for somebody with good qualities. What to speak of spiritually good qualities. That's all. Ladies had a question, so let's give them a chance.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Hare Krishna. For the class. It's just on the point on that I keep hearing Krishna consciousness, and I find it so difficult to get my head around, like how to not endeavor to gratify our senses. It's so alien. It just seems like that's what we've been doing, you know, for millions of lifetimes and in this lifetime. And if you say to me, like, okay, Kishore, you're meant to not gratify your senses, I'm like, wow, that's so difficult. How can we even do that? So could you explain about that?
Good question. that's the whole thing. Well, like Mother Vishakha said, and it's actually getting the higher taste, realizing that real happiness is making Krishna happy, and making his devotees happy. That's the whole process of Krishna consciousness. Yes, we're contaminated with the desire to enjoy our senses. The main thing is to engage those senses in Krishna's service, and then gradually we become purified of that desire. Secondly, associate with devotees, especially if you can find those who are not attached to gratifying the senses, then that helps greatly. Through philosophy also, because the first thing is most people in this world, they're not realizing actually that's not the purpose of life, to gratify our personal senses. They think that is the purpose of life. There is no other purpose in life, don't they? So at least, you know, we come to the point of understanding that actually that is not the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to serve Krishna, become, and actually that's the way we find real happiness. And other philosophical concepts, which are that actually it's just temporary. All this sense gratification is temporary. It doesn't actually give us permanent happiness or satisfaction like that. And the more we do try to enjoy the senses, the more we suffer, actually, like that. So basically all these things together, gradually they're purifying our hearts.
So I guess it's like just by having the knowledge that actually gratifying our senses has never made us happy. Like when we eat too much, we never feel good. Or when we sleep too much, we don't feel good, or whatever it is. So it's like, I guess, just realizing that it never really made us happy and it never will.
Absolutely. You've got the idea. There's a few more questions over here. Somebody like to fetch them?
Add something to that point about why is it that we're constantly trying to enjoy our senses. If I can add something.
Of course.
Thank you. One thing that I remember is the karmic cycle, that how it begins, that the desire to enjoy the bija is planted and then it fructifies, it's kutta, and then it lays dormant and then it manifests. And again, that based on whether we enjoy it or we're averse to it, we don't enjoy it, then we plant more seeds, and it just begins like that. And the first thing it starts off with is avidya, is ignorance. And it seems like it's quite a paradigm shift when one thinks that, okay, I want to enjoy my senses, and how do I stop enjoying my senses? And it begins, my understanding is that it begins by understanding that actually, these aren't our senses. Therefore, how can they be enjoyed? Hence why that avidya is there, that it's it being ignorant of our actual identity. Mm-hmm. That if we identify ourselves with the body, then we would naturally look for some pleasure, as we're pleasure-seeking. Hence, we're trying to find it through the body. But if we understand that we're not this body, which is, you know, sounds quite simple, but that's where the trouble begins, that we think we're this body, not Krishna's servant. Mm. And therefore it goes downhill from there.
Yeah, that's why we have class every morning, so we hear the same thing again and again. You're not the body, you're not the enjoyer, you're eternal servant of Krishna. Because actually we forget so easily. It's just, somebody else.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Simple question again. And probably been repeated so many times before. So Krishna says to withdraw from our senses, but at the same time in Krishna consciousness, we have to engage in our senses in Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. So is there a certain time when we should withdraw from our senses? Or
when it's for our pleasure, not for Krishna's pleasure. That's like... when we're eating, ideally we should eat to live, not live to eat. That's most people are living to eat, to enjoy their tongue, their belly, and things. but ideally, we have to. I mean, I personally find that very difficult. Mahaprasadam is too tempting for me. But hopefully one day it will, at least it's Mahaprasadam, so. But if it's not connected with Krishna, then that's when we...
should withdraw then.
We should withdraw. David, had a...
Hare Krishna Prabhu. It's just what I heard before about, in terms of what Yim Prabhu was speaking about, was respect and non-respect for sannyasis. But I heard that Srila Prabhupada said that those who show envy, it's actually it's a sign of indirect admiration. So it's a certain amount of respect, just indirectly. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, why should we be envious of somebody unless they have something that we value?
Yes.
So you're right. Absolutely. Yes. Good point. Nice point. Okay, I was supposed to speak about something about Nimbarkacharya's appearance. But Srinivas has already done that for us. So. Just that he's actually the main acharya for the Kumara Sampradaya, Nimbarkacharya. And we can just we can read more about him if we go to vaishnavcalendar.com, I think there's an info. There's a whole article there on Nimbarkacharya. And yeah, he was Keshav Kashmiri in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Grantaraj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaura Prema Namah.